Open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. In terms of our regular sequential preaching, we're going to be moving to the book of 1 John. However, this summer I will be speaking at our denomination's Youth Leadership Conference, a series of four messages that are going to come from the book of Joshua, so I've been working on that some. So listen as I read Joshua 1, verses 1 through 9. This is the Word of God. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these words of encouragement to us as the people of God, and we pray now that as we hear your word proclaimed, that it would bring courage to our hearts, that it would lift us up in the various callings to which you have called us. We thank you for this powerful word, and we pray that it would have the effect that you have ordained for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this passage is a remarkable passage in the history of Israel. Moses is called here the servant of the Lord, and he had died. And now Joshua is getting ready to lead the people of God into the promised land. And Joshua had followed Moses for a number of years. He had been trained through many years of wandering in the wilderness. He had had many experiences of various kinds. And yet now he faced something entirely new to him. He would be leading the people all alone. And you can imagine the kind of fear that that must have brought to his heart, thinking about leading a great nation such as the nation of Israel. And God here comes to his servant Joshua, and he gives him his word, so that he might be encouraged, so that he might take heart. And for all of us in our callings, the Lord gives us his word so that we might have courage to act as well. Last week we considered how the word of God gives us courage in prayer, and this week here in Joshua 1, we see that his word gives us courage to act. Well, as we look at this chapter, as we look at God interacting with his servant Joshua, we see a number of different ways in which the Word of God gives courage to the people of God to act. And these are ways in which God's Word will give you courage to act in life as well, even in those things that are difficult, whether they're regular and routine daily activities that are difficult, or whether they are more irregular and seemingly more difficult callings. So how does the word give us courage? Well, five things I want us to see here in this passage this afternoon. The first is that God's word gives courage to us because it reminds us that the God of generations past is our God in the present, and of course he will be throughout eternity as well. Again, look at verse 1. What's the first thought? It's death. The death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, had come. Now think about the character and the standing of Moses to the people of Israel. He was the one who had come to them with the word of God in the beginning there, having seen God in the wilderness, there at the burning bush, having met with the Lord, received his word. He went back then, and they witnessed the 10 plagues and the sea being divided. They witnessed the giving of God's law to Moses there on Mount Sinai and the other miracles that he had worked throughout his life. Now he's gone. He's never to return again. And perhaps you've felt the same way with family members, parents who have died, and you realize they're gone. They're not coming back. Or perhaps leaders in other organizations, the church, or perhaps in business, people who've been quite successful in leading others, they're gone. That was the circumstance here for Joshua. And the Lord came to Joshua, and look at what he says to him in verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. The Lord here reminds Joshua that he's now speaking to Joshua in the same kind of way that he once spoke to Moses. You see, Joshua has claim to that same God who ministered to and through Moses. Moses, in Deuteronomy chapter 31, his last words to Joshua, had promised that God would be a God to Joshua as well. This is what he said. This is Moses again speaking to Joshua. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. There are many of the same things that was spoken by Moses to Joshua. But think of how much more, at a personal level, this must have meant to Joshua. Now the Lord appears to Joshua. It's not simply Moses who's speaking these words, but the Lord reminds him that just as he had been with Moses, so he would be with Joshua as well. When we serve the Lord, we serve not a new God of this generation, but we serve the same God who has blessed those in the past who have served his name. And of course, this weekend, we're celebrating Memorial Day. We're remembering those who have died in the past, particularly in this nation, so that we might be free. And the Lord here, in speaking to Joshua, he wants Joshua to remember the past. Not to remember the strength of Moses, because men come and go. But the Lord endures forever, and he reminds Joshua that just as he's been with Moses, so he would be with Joshua as well. And we, as the people of God, are to remember. Remember that this God is our God whenever we're called to difficult callings, whatever they may be. Well, what's a second reason that the Word of God gives courage? The second reason is this. It tells us that God has already given us the land. Look at verse 2 again. God says to Joshua, now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. God has already reminded him that he's the God that had upheld Moses, and now he's telling him that all the places you will go, that land has already been given to you. You haven't taken it yet, but it is already yours. You see, here we have a promise that This land is already ours. This comforts us because we know, as the people of God, what to do. We're not left wondering. We don't know exactly how all the details of life will work out, but we know our calling in the present and for the future, because the Lord has already given us the land. He's already given us this particular task. As R.C. Sproul says, we are to actualize and realize in time and space what has been decreed from eternity past. That makes our calling that much easier, doesn't it? Our calling may be very difficult, but we recognize that as we serve the Lord, His purposes will be brought to pass. His purposes will not be hindered. And so it gives us great courage. Perhaps some of you have seen the movie The Great Escape, 1963 version, which tells the story of the great escape of over 75 Allied soldiers who were officers, mostly in the various air forces in World War II. They were kept in what is modern-day Poland by the German army, and they began to make their way out of the prison, which had been built on that particular site, especially to discourage prisoners from digging their way out. They ended up, of course, making their way out. And in the movie, which is actually fairly close to historical reality, Captain Ramsay was a British man who was the head prisoner, as it were, and he is speaking to the German colonel early in the story, and he reminds the colonel that it is the sworn duty of all officers to try to escape. If they cannot escape, then it is their sworn duty to cause the enemy to use an inordinate number of troops to guard them, and their sworn duty to harass the enemy to the best of their ability. You see, these officers knew their calling. They didn't know exactly how successful their attempts would be, various attempts to dig their way out of the prison or engage in other troubling activity, but they knew that their efforts would be fruitful in distracting as many of the enemy as possible. That gave them a great sense of purpose as they banded together in those walls. Well, so it is here for us. God has promised that He has already given us the land. Not that physical land, of course, but He has already promised that He is and will bring His kingdom to pass. And so as long as we obey and go forward, we know that we will be successful. We'll touch on that success again in a moment. But what a comforting thing, and what an encouraging thing it is for us to know we have our marching orders. We as the people of God know where we're going. We have His holy law. We have this world in which we live. And so we're to live with the greatest of vigor according to the Word of God. And when you know what you're doing, there's much greater courage to do it. We, of course, just purchased a new basketball goal that's going to go up here in the parking lot of the church, and there are about 1 million pieces. And as I've looked at those pieces, I'm very grateful that I have instructions. There are times when I'm tempted to throw the instructions away on various things that I'm to assemble. I am in no way thinking about throwing the instructions away on this. There's no way I could assemble it in a reasonable amount of time without the instructions. So what gives me courage to go forward with hope of success? Well, it's that I have the instructions. It will work because we have the blueprint. So we're to take courage in life and in serving the Lord because the Lord has already given us the land. He's given us the blueprint. Well, a third reason we see that we are to take courage from this passage is that God declares to us in these verses that the enemy is defeated, though we must still fight. Look at verse 5. God has promised what the land will be, the parameters of the land, and then He says in verse 5, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you." No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Now, that's a nice promise. Those are nice words. But stop and think about who was in the land. Joshua was one of the two spies. He had already scouted out the land. He knew what was there. Who was there? Giants. Enormous people. And think about where this nation of warriors that's getting ready to march into the land had come from. A few skirmishes through the wilderness that had served as training, it's true. But they had come out of Egypt, a bunch of slaves. And all they had to do there was run away. Now it's a completely different assignment. You know, I can probably outrun a 350-pound man fairly easily. However, it's quite another thing if you make it my assignment to unseat him from his chair and take it. You see how much more daunting this task was, in a sense, than Moses' task. Moses had to simply lead the people running away, as it were, from the enemy. But now Joshua is being charged with going into a land of giants and taking their spot. Nothing like this had ever been attempted by the people of God before. And yet, what does the Lord promise? No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. We are engaged in a struggle not with flesh and blood, but with spiritual forces. And we are called in our battles to fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. We're called to see sin put to death. They had physical giants before them, and along with their own sin. We have our sin. We have the temptations of the world. And we have the devil working against us. The Lord tells us that those things will not be able to stand before us as we serve Him. Now, if you know that it's possible, and not only possible, but assured that God will give you grace to put those things to death so that they cannot stand before you, if you take God at His word, it gives great courage in life to be able to move forward and to defeat the enemy. Well, the Lord gives us that encouragement. So as we wake up day by day, as we prepare to go about our business, as we deal with the discouragements of life, with the challenges of life, with the opportunities that the Lord sets before us, we need to remember His promise to Joshua here that no man would be able to stand before him. Now, of course, Joshua would face defeat at a couple of points in time. This was not a blanket promise that everything would go well for Joshua. This was not a blanket promise, even when things did go well, that it would be easy. But the Lord does promise him here that if he would take this word to heart and obey it, that he would see the enemy defeated. Well, fourthly, we see that God's word gives us courage because it assures us that God is with us and will not leave nor forsake us. Look again at verse 5. Very familiar words to you that appear in other parts of the scripture as well. God's promise is, I will not leave you nor forsake you. When a man goes into battle with other men around him, what is it that he wants to know most of all about those other men who are around him? That they're not going to leave him. That they're not going to turn their backs and run. But that they will stand together. And here the Lord promises Joshua that he will not leave nor forsake Joshua. Now, if you have the commander of the Lord of hosts on your side and his promise is that he will not leave nor forsake you, what should that do to the morale of the troops, of the soldier? It ought to give you great courage. Others may turn and others may run. Other human beings will let you down, but the Lord will not. And what's even better still is the knowledge that even if and when we do turn and run from time to time, the Lord never does. These are the same words, of course, that were then passed down through history. David promised his son Solomon. He charged him. He said, "Be strong and of good courage and do it." That is, build the temple. "Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of God." And then Jesus promises his disciples in John 14:18, "I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." He says that as he promises the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, we're reminded of the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.' So we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?'" You see there, the author of Hebrews sets it in context of living life. We're not battling in the land like Joshua was, but we are living life like the author of Hebrews speaks of here. And so, because the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us, our conduct should be without covetousness. We should be content, and we should say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" This really is the greatest encouragement of all, isn't it? That the Lord would be with us, that he will not leave us nor forsake us. And really, this all comes because we serve a covenant-keeping God. What's the nature of his covenant? His covenant is that he makes a promise to his people. That Hebrew term, hesed, covenant mercy, steadfast love that endures forever and ever. And Psalm 89 picks up that theme, and you remember that it talks about the Davidic king. And what ends up being true of that line of Davidic kings, as it's summarized even there in Psalm 89? Well, they fail. They turn their backs. They run. But who remains the same? It's the Lord. His steadfast love, his covenant is ever secure. And he's demonstrated that most of all in the person of his son Jesus, who was faithful to the end. And he now has paid the price for the people of God. It's because of his faithfulness, and it's because he is with us forever, that we have great confidence. And so you see, when we rise day by day and when we face various challenges of life, it's not up to us to develop the courage to do the things that we know we need to do. Where does courage come from? Well, it comes from serving the Lord. Well, the fifth reason we ought to be encouraged and we ought to take great heart as we serve the Lord is that God's word gives the promise of success. We've touched on this already, but look at verses 7 and 8. He says, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand nor to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Of course, the world takes, and even the secular-minded church today, takes these words and promises all kinds of earthly success, material success. God here was promising the same kind of success that Moses had had. What kind of success did Moses have? Well, it was a painful life of dealing with great hardship, but it was a success in that the Lord was faithful to Moses. Not an easy life, but the Lord fulfilled his purposes. And that's what the Lord promises Joshua here, that he really would be able to take the land. Of course, that would involve great sacrifice and peril. It would involve danger and calamity and all kinds of other hardships and sufferings and risk. God doesn't promise here ease, but he does promise success. He does promise that he will fulfill his purposes in the lives of his people. And that success, of course, in Joshua's case was that they would take the land. success in our case is that the Lord would give us grace that we might be faithful to Him and we might see His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. This is not a message of a prosperity gospel. It is a message that calls us to hardship and to toil, to labor day by day. But it is a message that tells us that the Lord is faithful and He will give success. He will give us grace that we might walk with the Lord. G.K. Chesterton said this of courage. He said, "Courage is almost a contradiction in terms. It means a strong desire to live, taking the form of readiness to die." A strong desire to live, taking the form of a readiness to die. That is what Joshua was called to here. And that's what you're called to every day. Being ready to lay down your life day by day, even in the little things. That is how courage is exhibited. And that's what Joshua was called to here. He was being called to labor before the Lord. And that readiness to die would result in his success in taking the land. Well, how does all of this become reality for us? How do we experience success in our walk with God, fulfilling his purposes? The key, once again, really comes there from verse 8. Look at it again. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." You see, this command, this word of courage and strength comes as Joshua remembers that this word shouldn't leave his lips. It shouldn't leave his thinking and his meditation. It shouldn't be separated from the things that he does with his life. This word for meditate, it has the idea of marinating, of pickling. And if you like pickles, you know what we're talking about. You take a cucumber from the garden and you can eat it, but the flavor is entirely different than that of a pickle. Why? Because the pickle has been sitting in the brine. And by the time the pickle has rested there in the brine for a long period of time, when you pull it out, it no longer tastes like the cucumber that it once was. Not all of the characteristics are entirely different, but all through that pickle, to the very center, to the very core, is the flavoring of the brine. That's what God says we're supposed to be like with His Word. That when you cut us open any direction, you slice the pickles horizontally, you slice the pickles vertically, you can slice the pickle any way you want. However you get sliced, is the flavoring there all the way through. If the pickle gets put on a sandwich, if the pickle gets put on a relish tray, if a pickle gets put in a salad or anything else into which it goes, does it taste like it should? That's what God wants for us. Wherever we go in our calling, do we have the flavor of God's Word in our mouths? Is it filling our thoughts? And does it characterize everything we do? That's what it means to meditate, or something of what it means to meditate upon the Word of God, to think about it. And then as we meditate on it, we're bound to do it. It will have that effect in our lives. Well, we can be courageous if these things are true of us. And we will grow in our courage if we are pickled that way in the Word of God. And then when we go out into the world, we can take great courage knowing that we have obeyed. We have done everything that the Lord has called us to do so that whatever the outcome is, we can be assured that the Lord would be pleased with our efforts and ultimately through those in one way or another will bring about His purposes. It's like Stonewall Jackson used to say to his troops before their battles, the battle is ours, but the outcome is the Lord's. We're called to take great courage and do those things that God has called us to do as those who've meditated upon his word, and then we leave the outcome to the Lord. Our success is not based upon external and visible results in this world. Our success ultimately is based upon what the Lord would be pleased to do in and through us. And as we look to his word, we take great courage in doing those things that he's called us to do. Let's pray. Lord, we pray now that you would give us a deep love for your word and a desire to do it. We pray that that would fill our hearts and minds more and more. We thank you, Lord, for the way that you took Joshua and you did make him a great and mighty warrior. And you did, Lord, grant success. Lord, we thank you that he was one who was like Christ and that he was a savior to his people, that he led them well. But we thank you that though he led imperfectly, that we have a savior, the one whose name is Jesus, because he came to save his people from their sins, who does lead his people perfectly. So, Lord, we entrust ourselves to you, and we pray that in this congregation we might have a deepening love, not only to know your word, but also to meditate upon it, and then to do it. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.